So, if I was to suggest to you, or just ask you, to think about, in your mind, what is the most inspiring works of art in history? Now, I know most of us are not art people. I'm not an art person. But there are certain things of art that we're all familiar with. So, if I would suggest, what's the most inspiring work of art you can think of in history? Probably you would get images like Leonardo da Vinci. And Tony, if you can show us that. Tony should know this really well since he was just in France. But Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci, probably one of the greatest works we're all familiar with, The Last Supper. What makes this so amazing is Leonardo da Vinci, I'm not going to take the time, but every one of these disciples, there is powerful symbolism. That's amazing what Leonardo da Vinci was able to captivate and speak to us through this. Very inspiring. Or maybe it's not something like this. Maybe it's something like Claude Monet. Monet is well known for just painting things that are just filled with peace. And you just look at it and it's just peaceful. It just brings you a calmness. He did amazing things. This is one of his water lilies. He did amazing things with color and with light. There's just a sense of peace that's there. It can be inspiring. I don't have a picture of this one because there's no picture that really does it justice. But, you know, maybe it's something like the creative brilliance of Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. We all know what that is. When you see a picture of it, though, you just see all those panels. You really don't get the full effect, so I didn't even want to try to show that to you. But, you know, you look at the individual panels, and it's amazing, the creative brilliance. I mean, he changed the way art was done when he made that. Very inspiring. You know, maybe it's someone like, for me, my personal favorite is Michelangelo and the sculpture that he did, which is called, I never get this right, it's the Pietà. This is just one of the most fabulous works. And just so you know, the way we see it right here is not the way he intended for it to be seen. Actually, he intended the viewers to be a little bit above it. And so you don't see as much as Mary's face, but you're looking down on Jesus. And it really focuses on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And truly, it's just an inspiring work. You know, maybe for you, it's none of these things. Maybe it's different mediums of art. Maybe it's music, like Handel and the Messiah. You know, or maybe it's photography or pottery or architecture. It could be anything. Whatever it is, whatever inspiring is to you, whatever that looks like, sounds like, feels like, I can pretty much guarantee you that there's no one in this room that when I said, what is an inspiring piece of art that you would think of? There's not one person that would have had this image come to your mind. You inspired by that? Really? You know, if I was at an art museum and I came upon this piece of art, I wouldn't even pause to even contemplate it. I mean, I'm not kidding, because we were just at an art museum in Cleveland with my family, and you're very aware of the time. So without a second thought, I'd have gone right past this to see the next work of art, because I don't have a lot of time. And at a cursory glance, there is nothing here that in any way excites any kind of passion at all, even a little bit. Nothing about this that does. And yet, I want to tell you, from this piece of art, what I want to show you today, I want to stir within each one of using this piece of art, I want to stir within us a passion and a desire to know and understand the deeper things in the Word of God by showing you how the Holy Spirit brings us revelation and insights into things, into the Word of God in ways that are beyond what we see and what we can comprehend with our natural minds. Are you intrigued? See, we look at something like this, and it's hard for us to really feel inspired as we just give it a cursory glance. But here's what I want us to see. Jesus is not the artist of this, but I want you to see Jesus as the artist that interpreted the nature and the kingdom of God for us. And he presented that to us in his great masterpiece, the Word of God. Then Jesus gave us a teacher, the Holy Spirit, who brings us insight and understanding and revelation to perceive things with this natural mind that we could not otherwise even begin to comprehend just by using our natural minds alone. Listen to the words of Paul. Because Paul was a man that was given Holy Spirit understanding into the revelation of great things like the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. So listen to what Paul said. Because Paul got understanding, insight from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. This is in the Amplified. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, His unmerited favor that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit, and that the mystery, the secret, was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote you. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Paul reveals that God gave him direct, personal revelation into these matters. Paul gave him direct, personal, from the Holy Spirit, revelations to understand the heart of God. But with that revelation came responsibility. Paul also understood that he had the responsibility with that revelation to administer that revelation, to dispense it, so that others could understand the revealed truth that Jesus had personally given to him. So Paul is our example in this. Paul's our example so that we should expect every time we open up the Word of God, every time you open up the Bible, we should expect that the Holy Spirit, the teacher, is going to show us great things, is going to reveal things to us that we otherwise could not see with our natural minds. Expect that the Holy Spirit is going to show you things to reveal to you the mind of Christ with understanding every time we open up the Bible. That should be our expectation. So we often look at the Word of God, and this is just the way it is. I mean, we've all been there. We open up the Word of God, and sometimes we see it as just being dull and uninteresting. I mean, we've all had those phases in our lives. And if you talk to believers, that's one of the great reasons that people really struggle to spend time in the Word of God or to grow or to even spend time in church. It's because when they read the Word of God, to them, it seems dull and uninteresting. Much like that work of art that we had just seen. Much like that. That's the way that people feel the Word of God is. But I want us to see that if we have a good art teacher, if there is a good art teacher, bring that other picture back up. You can leave that up for a while, just because I want you guys to be really inspired by this. If we have a good art teacher, a really good art teacher can reveal to us amazing things, even in something like this. Amazing things that our untrained eyes would not see. Likewise, with the Word of God, when we spend time in the Word of God, we have a teacher, a good teacher, the Holy Spirit, who will reveal amazing things to us in this that our natural eyes would never be able to see, comprehend, and understand. So, with that in mind, let's consider this again. Still not very inspiring, is it? All right, so here's a little background, because maybe background will help. This was painted by a Dutch painter by the name of Frans Hals. He painted this in 1664. Now, our first impression when we look at this, the first impression that you get is, well, my first thing is, it's like really dark. Now, part of that is because when the kinds of paint and the kinds of finishing they used in paintings back in the 1500s and 1600s, it did have a tendency to darken as it aged. But it's just dark in general. So we look at this, and the things that I would say is, okay, this is dark. To me, it seems kind of dull, right? I would even use the word tedious. I mean, it's tedious just to look at that for any length of time at all. Certainly, you look at this, and it appears to me to be totally emotionless. There's no emotions on those faces at all. There's nothing here at a first impression that makes you think this is interesting or in any way inspiring at all. Nothing gives us any indication of that. And the really fun thing is the title of this work is equally uninspiring. This is called The Regentesses of the Old Men's Almshouse in Harlem. Now you're really excited, right? This was painted in 1664, and the first time that I ever came across this painting was when I was going through this video art course, and it was called The World's Greatest Paintings. The World's Greatest Paintings. Now, the professor of this course, who was a really good teacher, he was from the Smithsonian Institute. The professor of this course, he featured, he looked at 70 different pieces of art. And this was one of them. He looked at 70 pieces. When he came to this one, I was about maybe a third of the way through this whole series, and I'm thinking, I got 40 more paintings to go through. I saw this, and I thought, I got 40 more. I'm not interested in this at all. I was going to skip right past this one. But I thought, you know what? The teacher's been a good teacher so far. He's really earned my respect. He's really earned. I should give him the attention to see what he wants to speak to me from this, because he was a good teacher. And so out of respect, I watched the video. And because he was such a good teacher, I honestly, don't laugh at me, I'm not going to go too far with this, but I honestly did come to admire, really admire the artist and this artist's perception. You wouldn't think so, but when you have a good teacher to show you, you can see things. I really came to admire this artist's perception, his ability to perceive things, and I even came to admire, once I understood it, I came to admire even the painting. Now, I wouldn't want this hanging up in my house all the time, but because of what I learned, I came to admire both the painter and to admire the painting itself as well. So just in my own eyes, when I look at this, I see five dour-looking women. They're dressed in clothing that is from a time period that I can't relate to. And since I really have no understanding of the times, the customs, the culture that these women lived in, because I have no understanding of any of that, I really have no interest in really understanding this painting, right? I mean, when I just look at it, there's nothing here that makes me say, I want to establish some kind of a connection between me and this painting. It just isn't there at all. But I had a good teacher, a good art teacher. And this is what I learned from the good art teacher. First of all, it's called the Regencies of the Old Men's Almshouse in Harlem. So an almshouse, back in the 1600s in the Netherlands, an almshouse, this was a place, it was a home for men over the age of 60 who had no financial means, and so this was just a place for them to live out the declining years of their lives. And these women, these are the Regencies, these are the caregivers. So if these men wanted some kind of, if you're a young man living in Holland, you see this painting, it's probably good incentive to make sure that you plan out your financial future really well. Because there's not a lot of joy that's probably taking place in the almshouse that is there. But so that's who these are. These are the caregivers for that place. So here's what I want us to see. Even though these women, the subject, it may seem uninspiring. These women themselves may seem uninspiring to us, but the artist knew these women well. He perceived them well, and he interpreted them well for us. And because the artist was able to interpret them well, the informed teacher, a good teacher who understands the subject, will bring insights and revelations, will bring insights and understanding that otherwise we would never see or know or recognize. And with those insights comes revelations. Because of insights, we get revelation. In the same way that I'm using this picture as an example, think of the fact that, again, Jesus is the artist who interpreted for us the kingdom of God. And in that interpretation, he gave us the presentation of it in the Bible itself. And then he gave us a good teacher so that we could understand what otherwise the natural mind and eyes wouldn't see or perceive. So anytime you're reading the Bible and you just think to yourself, I'm just not getting anything out of it, just pause for a second, pray. Say, you are, Jesus, this is your great masterpiece where you interpreted the kingdom of God for me to know and to understand. Holy Spirit, my good teacher, bring me insight and he will show you things that just in reading you never would. I promise you, I give you, if there's somebody watching this video and you've never heard this before, I promise you, if you pray before you open up this Word of God, and I know all of us here have had that experience, man, there is great, amazing insights that come when we just expect the Holy Spirit to show us different things. So there's a lot of different things that I could show you about this work of art, things that this really good professor taught. But for time's sake, I just want to show you the more poignant examples. These are examples of how the artist himself interpreted well and understood the subjects, and then how the teacher was able to reveal those truths to us so that 400 years later, we can actually know these women as they did. I'm not sure you want to when you look at the picture, but as you see these things revealed, it does bring us to an understanding. I'm only going to talk about two of these women. And one of the more fascinating ones I'm going to talk about is this kind of harsh-looking woman over here. But if we start over on the left-hand side of the painting, if you look at this woman here on this side, you look at her, and I don't know about you, but the first time I looked at this, she is so uninteresting that your eye just kind of drifts right over her and tends to go more towards the center and more towards the stronger individuals like her. So your mind easily drifts over her. But the artist interpreted her well, and the good teacher reveals her to us. So I want you to notice, this is what the teacher first pointed out. Look at her face. In that face, you can really see, you don't see it at first, but if you look, there's an uncertainty in her face. There's a melancholy, almost a sadness that is in her face. Now look at her hand. Her hand is unlike any of the other hands here. It's open and it's upright. Now remember, this is an almshouse, so this is based on the charity of others. The only reason that this place exists is because of the charity of others. So this woman has her hand open and ready to receive, but because she has no strength in her ask, there's no strength here in air. There's a lack of confidence in her ask. And what's being revealed to us is the very nature of this woman. She is uncertain about the generosity of her fellow man. She's uncertain, and she's not even sure that the almshouse is even going to be, its future is even going to be able to sustain itself. You just see that from the simple things. This is a woman who actually existed 400 years ago. It's amazing when you think about it. We actually know her name today. Well, we know the names of four of these ladies. We don't know which one goes to which person, but we know the names. This was a real lady. She lived 400 years ago. We know her name. And we have here being able to see her likeness, but because of the artist who interpreted her well and because of the teacher who is able to reveal insights and revelation to us, we also know her feelings, we know her character, and we know the struggles that she was facing centuries ago. We can still see that because the artist's interpretation and the good teacher who reveals it to us. Now look at this woman here, right, just to the center. Of all the women that are here, she's actually painted the softest, and she has eyes. Her eyes are very large. Her eyes are very empathetic, very gentle, and very compassionate. She's very smoothly and softly painted. And she is actually in front of this painting. Now, you really can't see because it is so dark. Even if you saw the actual painting, this is also darkened. She's the only one that is in front of that landscape. And because the teacher understands the subject, the teacher lets us know that that landscape, that's actually a painting of the Good Samaritan. So the fact that this woman's head, of all these five heads, the only head that is actually in the painting, in the landscape, in that painting of the Good Samaritan, is hers. This is the artist revealing to us her heart. It's letting us know, why is she motivated to do what she does? Why is she motivated to serve here all these old men that don't have the ability to take care of themselves? Well, the artist is showing us, interpreting it for us, and the teacher is letting us know this is her heart. She's inspired by the Good Samaritan. Now also, look at her face, her whole head. From the narrowness of the chin to this widow's peak of the headwear that she has on. This is not her hairline, it's the headwear. This lady has the same headwear, but notice how the artist painted it different on these two. Because for her, from the narrowness of the chin and to the way that the headwear, the widow's peak of the headwear is, her face is transformed into a heart. And this is, again, this is the artist who interpreted her and is letting us know this is a woman of great tenderness. The artist interpreted it, and because you have a good art teacher who's able to understand it, he can then show us, reveal to us, what you could otherwise not know. That makes her very interesting. I think probably out of all this painting, the thing that is most awe-inspiring to me, which is still staggering to me, even as I'm about to share it with you, is the example that we get of how well the artist was able to interpret this individual. And again, remember, by way of our analogy, Jesus is the artist who interprets for us the kingdom of God. And he presents it to us in his great masterpiece, which is the Bible. And then we have the Holy Spirit to give us insights so we can understand what is there. So out of all of these five women that are here, it's hard to really tell because of this painting. In fact, you'd have to get a close-up, and I couldn't really find one. But the lines, all these women, they all have very crisp lines that detail them and outline them, but not her. In fact, if you look at her hands, and you really can't see it in this, but you can see it a little bit, especially in this right hand. Her hands are painted so that they're all blurred around the edges. And so the artist is actually showing us that there is a tremor or a trembling in her hands. And then notice how her collar is much different than everybody else's. Did anybody notice that when you first saw that? Man, you guys are a whole lot sharper than I did. I didn't see that at all. Her collar is a whole lot, it's much different. It also, the lines are not crisp on her. She's not nearly defined as these others. And this is a great example of it. Even her collar is not well defined. It's actually a little bit out of focus. It's like the artist was painting a photographic double exposure of her. And this is done in the 1664. The reason that this was done this way, this is the amazing achievement that Franz Hals made with this. He is suggesting here this woman's impermanence. This is a life nearing an end. And this is what happened. And the artist was able to perceive that. The artist saw that and he delicately and tactfully painted it. He saw a life, he saw and perceived a life nearing an end. That's what he painted for us. I didn't see any of these things when I first looked at it. And I'm sure you probably didn't either. I didn't see any of these things when I first looked at this painting. But I had a good teacher. And the good teacher opened up my eyes. And when the good teacher opened up my eyes, I could see that the painter, the artist here, had a great deal of empathy. He had a great ability to perceive things. He had a great ability to interpret and then present it to us. So that then the good teacher could then take that and reveal those things to us. Because of the artist's empathy and interpretation and the teacher's ability to bring insight and revelation, we can know these women 400 years later. It's just really amazing. But it's a tremendous example for us of exactly what it is that God does for us through the Holy Spirit and through his word. Now, an artist whose name we all know is Vincent van Gogh. Vincent van Gogh was so inspired by this artist, Franz Hals. Centuries later, he was so inspired that this is what he wrote about Franz Hals. In this, in all of his portraits, Hals read his sitters well and recorded them and interpreted them carefully. Each time we encounter a Hals portrait, even one we've seen many times before, we feel we're seeing something new, something extraordinary. You know, when you open up the Word of God, when you open up the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit as a teacher. And so even though you might have read those passages hundreds of times before, we should still be able to look at them and to know that we are learning and seeing something new and something extraordinary. And it excites us. It should just bring us to that place of excitement and wanting to see and understand so much more. You know, about 6 weeks ago, I was having lunch with Jeff, and Jeff was in the middle of writing a lot of things, and I told you guys this story once when Jeff wasn't here, but I'm going to tell it on him again. But it so encapsulates what I wish every single believer could experience and should experience, and it should be our expectation. I was with Jeff, and he was just talking about how he was doing this writing. And he said his life, and I'm, if I summarize it incorrectly, just let it go. Because the story is what matters here, Jeff, not the details. What he said to me was, he was at a place in his life where, because he was spending that time in the Word, that he couldn't wait. He would go to bed at night, and he was so excited to go to sleep because he knew once he was asleep, The nighttime would go quickly. Once he was asleep, he knew he was going to be able to get up in the morning and he would have an hour and a half to spend in the Word of God. And he was so excited for the things that Jesus was going to reveal to him through the Holy Spirit by his time in his Word that he couldn't even wait to go to sleep at night so he could get that interpretation. He could get that revelation directly from the Holy Spirit. This is the way that we should see the Bible every time we open it. That kind of excitement. Jesus, what do you have to show me? Because it is his revelation, his interpretation of the kingdom of God that he shares with us so that we can see him and know him and know him more. Without understanding, reading the Word of God, without understanding, reading the Word of God can be dull. I mean, it can be without understanding from him, from the Holy Spirit. Without understanding, it can be dreary. It can become uninteresting. But we have Jesus, and Jesus is the great artist. And Jesus did interpret the kingdom of God, the nature of God, and the kingdom of God for us. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Because of your position as a child of God, because of who you are in Jesus Christ, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the Word of God, to know the kingdom of God, as much as these finite minds can understand it. It's been given to us." And Jesus is the artist who gave us this great masterpiece to reveal himself and to reveal all truth to you and I. This is Psalm 119, verse 130. "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." It is his masterpiece that he's given to us. But because the natural mind cannot conceive, cannot understand the things of the spiritual realm, Jesus also gave us a teacher. He gave us the Holy Spirit who would give us insights so that we could understand, we would know and understand revelations. We'd be able to see things that we could not see ourselves and understand them as we perceive and understand the kingdom of God and who Jesus is. This is the one of my all-time favorite verses, John 14, 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," and he already has, "he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." We have the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the good teacher, the most excellent teacher, to explain this word to you. So I don't care where you open up the Bible to. You can just flip open the Bible. I don't even care. All right, so I've got a friend. She and her husband, and when they're in town, they live in Tennessee, they'll sit up here in front next to Donna. And they have this little girl named Wilma. So Wilma's like 7 years old. I just talked to Amy earlier this week, and she said that Wilma, 7 years old, and she's no longer reading bedtime stories. She wants, this is what she said, "I want to read with her mom and her dad. She wants to read through the Bible. Not my Bible, I want your Bible." So they're reading through the Bible together. And this is what the seven-year-old girl wants, because she's been trained at 7 years old to have a sense of expectation, to understand it. So you would think, well, how can a little girl understand? Well, they're getting a lot there in Genesis. She's gonna have to have the teaching of the Holy Spirit when she gets to Leviticus, that's for sure. But if you would even open up to, and I'm even saying, little Wilma, 7 years old, if they're reading Leviticus, which they will, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit is going to show that little girl some things in her mind that only he could. And this is the level, this is the kind of expectation that we should have every time we open up the Word of God. Because as the Holy Spirit gives us insight and revelation into the Word of God, it ignites a passion in us, a passion to want to know more of his word, to want to know those deeper things, to want to see things we've never seen before. Amen? I mean, have you had those times, those moments when you're reading the word of God and it's just like the aha moment, and you've read that verse hundreds of times before and you've had other insights and other revelations, but here's just another revelation that comes from that. That's why the word is living and active. It's because you can read the same things over and over and get something new. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly who you are. He knows where you're at in your life. And if you will read the word, he will show you something from that word that immediately and directly impacts where you're at and what you're experiencing. And this gives us that excitement to every day open up the word of God and say, I can't wait until it's morning. I get to spend an hour and a half reading the word of God so the good teacher can show me more about the word of God. So let's go back to what Paul taught us in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read that to you again. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2, 3, and 4. Assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace, his unmerited favor, that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit. This is our example. Paul's our example. And that the mystery, the secret, was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation. Think about that. When you open up the Word of God, this should be our attitude. I was allowed by the Holy Spirit. I was allowed to have comprehension, to comprehend by direct revelation the things that only the Holy Spirit can show us. I was allowed to comprehend by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote to you. Paul was given revelation into the Word of God. Paul was given revelation to understand things and to share them. He was given direct, personal revelation from the Holy Spirit. But Paul understood with that revelation came responsibility. In other words, Paul, and in some versions you can actually read that the word means this, Paul was given stewardship of that revelation. What does it mean to be a steward? A steward means something is entrusted to you. And when you are given the stewardship, when God gives you stewardship of something, you are supposed to use that which he has given you in stewardship according to the way he desires you to use it, which glorifies him. So Paul was given a revelation, but he understood that he was given stewardship of that revelation. So he was supposed to administer it or to dispense it to others so they could receive it as well. It's the responsibility that Paul knew and understood that he had. When we read the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit. We have a teacher who has given us insights to understand the revelations, to understand things that are otherwise unknowable, and to understand things that the world cannot understand. But he's given you insights and revelations into those things. He's given you direct, personal revelations from the Holy Spirit of God himself. But with those revelations comes the responsibility. We've also been given, you and I, we are made stewards over that revelation. So there's an expectation that I'm not just going to keep that to myself, but that I am going to share with others what he has allowed me to see and comprehend. Why did Jesus choose Paul to be the one to get these revelations? Revelations like the grace of God. Revelations that he's talking about directly here in this verse, in these verses. He's speaking about the revelation that he has, that the Gentiles are going to become fellow heirs in the gospel. He has the greatest revelation of all about the new covenant and the blood of Jesus. Why did Jesus entrust these revelations to Paul? Well, in part, it's because he knew Paul could be trusted to resolutely give that revelation to others, regardless of what any other men said or did. Paul would be resolved in his administering and dispensing that revelation that he was given to others. We read the Word of God. We have the Word of God. And we want greater revelation, right? I mean, there's not one of us that opens up the Bible and says, well, I'm just going to do my due diligence and get through this. No, we understand that this is Jesus revealing himself to us. We want deeper revelation into the deeper things of God. We want to know the mind of Christ. We want to be trusted with the insights into the deeper things of Jesus Christ. We want that. But here's the question we have to ask ourselves. What will we do with those revelations that we receive? Will we believe them? Listen, it's very easy sometimes when you get a revelation from the Holy Spirit, it's very easy sometimes to think, oh, I've not heard that before. Well, that's probably just me. That's probably not right. We need to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit so clearly that when he gives us, you know, here's the first thing. What are we going to do with the revelation when we receive it? Will you believe that it is something that Jesus has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit? Will we believe it? And then will we administer it? will we disperse it and dispense it to others, regardless of what anyone else says or what man thinks or does to us. Because if we will, he will give us more insights. He will give us more revelation. What are you going to do with the revelations that you have? I would suggest to you, we give everybody those booklets. You know, take one of those booklets. When you're reading the Word of God, this is what I do every day. As I read, I have a notebook right with me. And I make notes on every verse. I'll go verse by verse. And my goal is, Holy Spirit, you show me today. You show me. And he does. And I've told you before, there's been sometimes I've come upon verses and I thought, I got nothing. Nothing to write. Well, here's one obvious thing. So I start to write that. And, you know, a verse that I had nothing to write. But once I started writing, because if you're diligent, what are you going to do with the revelation that he shows you? Writing things down shows that you respect and you honor the revelations, the insights that he gives you. All I did is start to write down the one simple thing that I saw. And in that verse that I had nothing on, all of a sudden I had almost three pages of notes because it just clicked, clicked, clicked. What will you do with the revelations that you receive? Because as you receive revelations, as you honor them and respect them, and as you administer them, or in other words, as you dispense them to others, he's going to entrust you with more. Can Jesus trust me with the revelations that he gives? Can he trust me as he trusted Paul with revelations? We need more Pauls. We need more Pauls out there who receive those revelations and can be trusted to administer those revelations as they've been given. You know, as we all are. It's very easy for us, and it's easy for us to spend a lot of time writing things or posting things on social media. But let me just ask you this, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with social media, but just think about this. Anything you've posted or written on social media, what have you written that was remembered even 5 minutes after the person read it? I mean, just think about that for a second, and then think about this. What have I written or posted on social media that has influenced someone else's life? I mean, really impacted someone else's life. Here's an even greater question. This is going to seem stupid to you, but I mean this sincerely. Because I believe that Jesus has revelations for every one of us that the Holy Spirit will show us as we read the Word of God. And if we'll administer them, it'll impact people's lives. What have you written or posted on social media, or just written in general? What have you written in general and shared with someone else, or just received and gave, administered to someone else, that would impact somebody if they read it 2,000 years later? Because that's exactly what Paul's revelations did and do. Still impact people 2,000 years later. Listen, I want to have kingdom revelations that I can share with others. And the really good thing about that is Jesus has kingdom revelations that he wants to share through me and through you. Want to have kingdom revelations that you can share with others. And he will give those things to you, and he will trust you with more and more. Jesus is the artist. He interpreted the nature and the kingdom of God well for us. And he's given it to us in his great masterpiece of the Word of God. And he has given us a teacher, the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand, have insights, and have direct personal revelation. And if we will be faithful stewards of those revelations that he gives us, if we'll be faithful stewards, you'll be amazed. Just like that painting that we saw earlier, you'll be amazed at the things that he reveals to us that only he can, that will excite you far more than that painting. They will excite you, and the more that you write those down, the more he's going to give you and show you. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you do love us so much. You showed us that at the beginning of service as you spoke to us. And I thank you and I praise you for that. And we have that same desire to see you and to know you. And you have provided the way. You have given us the great masterpiece of the Word where you freely show us your nature and your kingdom. And we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for giving us the good teacher, the great teacher. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the next time, the next moment each one of us opens up this word, we fully expect and we thank you in advance that you're going to give us, show us and reveal something to us we've never seen before. You're doing it. We are ready to receive it. We believe it. And we thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand up and close in praise this morning.